This is Shaman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello there again, everybody. It is the 5 o'clock hour on a Thursday. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Together we're Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Throw out the phone number there, 239-337-ESPN. Follow me at Twitter, at Craig ESPN. Follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Don't forget to check out our website at 99.3ESPN.com. I had a piece previewing tonight's Dolphins game against the Buccaneers, and we'll have the Buccaneers call here on 99.3 ESPN. In fact, their pregame is 1 hour from now.
The great Gene Decker.
If you want to listen to the Dolphins broadcast, it'll be in our sister station, 96K Rock. It's also on TV, NBC affiliate. And you can see our Sheeman and Shepherd TV commercial a couple of times in the game tonight. So look out for that. I want you to tweet out about it and give us your comments on it tomorrow. We're very excited about it. At least I am.
Very excited.
Also, during all of this, Pete Shepherd, you are going to be out and about.
I'll be out and about tonight at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Myers. It's right off I-75 and Colonial Boulevard at 9390 Dynasty Drive. I'll be there with street teamers, and we're going to have a blast. We're going to eat. We're going to have drink. We're going to have a good time. Some fantasy football kits available. So, and some other stuff too. So come on down. Say hello. All the games are going to be on. Everybody. So you won't have to worry about you like this team or that team. But it'll be a blast. Come on down. Look forward to meeting you guys.
All right. Looking forward to that. You'll be at this establishment this week.
7 to 9 p.m. tonight.
Chris will be out at 1 next week. I'll be at a Buffalo Wild Wing the third week. So we're going to be doing this for the next. But tonight, your chance to see Pete Shepherd. And unlike last year, I don't think you're going to have big thunderstorms and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we had some major storms last year when I was there. But, you know, it's still good. Still had a fun time.
Yeah.
Certain games on DirecTV came back first, you know, as opposed to others. So but it is interesting tonight with Miami and Tampa Bay playing each other.
I'm intrigued. Couple of things. And we'll get to all that in just a few moments. As you know, on Thursdays, we like to talk with our good friend Rick Horro. He's the CEO of Horro Sports Ventures, and he's with, and I believe, just back from Vienna, if I remember correctly. Rick, welcome back. How are you?
Hey.
Yeah, from Vienna to another foreign country, Fort Lauderdale. I'm down halfway to the Dolphin game. I'll be one of 400 people watching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a dramatic interstate rival.
How's the Hurts raining?
Yeah, Hurts is going to be wet.
Hurts yeah, raining pretty hard.
And it's pouring, by the way, as you might expect. But
well, you're in the box suite, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, that right. Yeah, that's a good point. You're one step ahead. And the thing about Tannehill this time, obviously, is that he's coming off injury, and everybody's going to watch him. Let's make sure he doesn't slip. And this is a key. Just get out of the game without anybody being hurt, and the Dolphins will be okay. And you don't know about the Buccaneers. Are you halfway? Most of the people who listen to you, are you Buck fans or Dolphin fans?
I'd say both. I mean, we're closer to Tampa. We carry the Bucs, and we carry the Dolphins here in this company as well. But I'd say it's split.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I thought in the Naples, Fort Myers. I guess as you get closer to Sarasota, it's more Buccaneers. But it's a couple of uncertainties because everybody preseason is going to the Super Bowl. That's the interesting thing about some media clips.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Dolphins have a path to the playoffs. I'm not sure about a path to the Super Bowl. And I guess with the Buccaneers, it's wherever Winston takes them. So it'll be kind of interesting.
There's so many people out there that actually have the Dolphins ranked as like the 32nd team in the league, like the worst team. And I don't see them being that bad this year. I don't expect them to go to the Super Bowl, but they're not going to be that bad, are they?
Good offensive line, new guys sitting, and new crew. The Kilgore, the center, Pouncey's gone. So a total restructuring there. If Tannehill is healthy, good. I've been out to training camp, and I know Landry was bad mouthing the Dolphins, but Amendola looks like Wes Welker did in Miami, and that's good, not bad. And this guy Gesicki, the tight end, it looks like a second coming of Gronkowski. But, you know, look, I've been a Dolphin fan for 90 years before they even were thought of as an expansion team. So I lead with my heart. Yeah. Every year they're going to the Super Bowl. So I'm the wrong guy to ask.
All right, I just going to switch from football for a second. I'm going to make you right now the president of the NCAA. You are now Mark Emmert, and I know you'll do a much better job. So if you were launching a business plan, allegedly a business plan, that's going to help finance, you know, young men. When you put a plan together and you don't tell anybody from USA Basketball and you don't tell anybody from the NBA Players Association and you don't tell anybody anything, but somehow you just release a story that says, we're going to do all these new rule changes to help the game better. And it's going to help young student athletes, which is laughable, but you don't tell anybody. And then the people from USA Basketball, the presidents in the Bahamas, guys like Jim Tooley, and people from the NBA Players Association say, what are you doing? How do you form and throw these rules out there for a big-time business, which is the NCAA, and not talk to anybody, Rick? How is that possible?
Well, and who knows who they really talked to and who they didn't, because people who are opposed to it can always say, I wasn't talked to enough where I gave my blessing on it, but I understand the noise. And usually when things like this roll out, you at least have some supporters. So, you know, part of the issue is that there are really some good people who you and I both know who are really trying to get things done. And politically, you try to get their support. You know, Condoleezza Rice is spending a lot of her time now with this committee that is organized to define governance, figure out what happened. She doesn't have all the answers, and the courts have some. So that's one place to start. The other place to start is Jerry Colangelo is a good friend. If anything, he's basically the father of USA Basketball. He's not day-to-day anymore. But you have a couple people right there who should be spokespeople, legends, pillars, ambassadors. I don't care what you call them. But certainly they have some practical understanding in Jerry's instance, basketball, and Condoleezza Rice's instance, politics, to kind of help get things done. Well, so it's not over, but it could have gotten off to a better start.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, and none of these rules can be really implemented until 2021-22. But then I hear Dan Gavitt, who I believe, you know, and I knew Dave from when I was a little kid growing up in Rhode Island. But Dan comes out as the vice president of NCAA. He's got, you know, great lineage, but his dad must be rolling over when he hears this. We've been communicating very, very, use three varies, Rick. We've been communicating very, very, very regularly and effectively with them. We could have done a little better job of communicating Wednesday's news with them. I'll just leave it at that. I don't know. That doesn't cut it for me. It's sort of, I shouldn't be stunned at anything that comes out of that office, but I guess I am.
No, but here's the interesting tip. Whenever you hear anybody saying they've done a very, very, very good job of communicating, they usually have not done a very, very good job.
Excellent
right?
point.
I mean, that's standard. Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, we're just starting. Mm-hmm. And so because we're just starting, you have a process where you can approve on it.
Talking with Rick Harrow here on Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Rick, we're watching the PGA Championship right now. In fact, Dustin Johnson, I'll tell our listeners, just sank a beautiful long putt to go 5-under to tie Ricky Fowler atop the leaderboard. These majors, particularly the PGA Championship, what are these worth? About like $100 million for the suburb in St. Louis that it's at?
Yeah, well, the Missouri area, exactly. So it is consistent. The economists use the assumptions and people are staying and more people are playing and the jobs and the dollars in the Missouri economy, and it's been pretty consistent. So, you know, 3 years ago at Kohler and Whistling Straits, about $100 million. Then Baltusrol, about $100 million. And then you have a process in Quail Hollow for $100 million. And all of that together, it means that you're kind of at a six-figure, nine-figure, $100 million number. But that also means that you got a real process now for generating a lot of dollars, a lot of money. Missouri is golf crazy. So here's another example of how they want to do it. And at the end of the day, it is really good for golf. By the way, merchandise sales, kind of all-time high first day, if it's any indication. What they're going to be doing is to try to figure out how to sell as many unique bits of merchandise as possible. 100,000 hats. Mm. And a lot of it's going to be only available when you have a process to actually go. when you have a process, you're actually going to go, sorry, I'm just trying to negotiate my way in here to a parking space.
Don't get in a crash.
I got a 15-minute of fame guy who is, yeah, okay, I understand, man, that's okay. So, anyway, the Open is big, and PGA Championship is pretty big, too.
Nobody standing there with Rick Horro can park here? Nothing, no sign like that?
Yeah, no. Actually, I've been kind of pushed to the end of the world here, and kind of easier to deal with this.
See, I figured you for a parking pass guy that would nestle up right up to the stadium. What's going on? Are you paying $35 for parking or what?
No, the 15-minute fame guy here is telling me that I should be going somewhere else, but I'm about to tell him that I know the owner. Are you ready for this?
Okay,
this is live national radio. So, I'm
Mr. Ross, special guest.
Anywhere, thank you. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, how's that? You like that?
Just mention my
name. What else do you want? What do you want?
Are you hanging with Mr. Ross tonight? What's the deal? I mean, what, you know, you guys...
I'm hanging in the swing. Based on the fact that he invited me so early, I'm not naive. You probably can't get anybody else to go.
Hey, Rick, just as a flyer there, you know, Chris, who answers the phone when you call each week, is a Dolphins fan, and I'm a Lions fan, being a native Detroiter. Can you get me in that suite with Chris on the day that the Lions and the Dolphins play each other, like in week four, I think it is?
You and Chris together, I'm telling you right now, you have an open invitation to come. I got some extra tickets. You will not sit in the suite. You will be as far from me as I possibly can, but bring it on and you'll come.
I burn easily with the sun. I don't know.
Oh my God.
I got to be indoors.
It's a delicate flower. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, that story, interesting story today came out about Buffalo Wild Wings, and you know, they want to, you know, put a bookmaking joint in there, which is, I think it's a good idea. I think a lot of sports bars, and they're one of the biggest in the country, are going to try to implement that once gambling becomes legal in most of the states. But what do you think about that story?
Hold on, he's parking. He's still parking the car.
Hard Rock can be a pain in the butt to park.
Yeah.
I mean, most football stadiums are, but
it can be a little difficult.
The other side,
you guys have been here. Yeah, I've been there.
There's 3,000 people here at the game. Come on, man, let me in. And it's raining. What the hell?
Your car's getting towed.
What do you want? Yeah, good. We're done. We're in.
All right, we're back. Okay. All right.
Now, here's the deal. But let me tell the people out there: possession of a parking space is 90% of the law. Let's see how these people. You think they'll pick up the car when I'm gone? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
After I hang up with you, I'm going to leave the car, I'm going to give them the finger, and I'm gone. So what else do you want me to do?
They're going to have you towed.
Towed you in here? They're not going to bother towing.
No.
They can't pay for a tow truck today to get to tow people out of here.
So I don't know if you heard my question about Buffalo Wild Wings, but that the story came out today that they want to.
I was distracted.
That's okay. Well, Buffalo Wild Wings, story came out today that they are seriously considering, being able to take bets in their sports bars, which I think it's a good idea. I think it's going to happen eventually once gambling becomes legal in most states. But how do you feel about that? Is that a good thing, a bad thing?
Well, here's the deal. MGM and the NBA made a first commitment, as you remember, to generate some dollars. The whole issue was the leagues wanted to get paid for their piece because they've got to pay more for security. At the end of the day, nobody knew who should pay who. All they knew was that the Supreme Court said, let's do it, and all the states wanted to get it done for their own budgets. The NBA makes the first move and says, here is MGM, and here's what they do now. They're going to set the stage that casinos will give the leagues a certain fee for data. What will happen then is a lot of corporations will buy into the process. And after they do, then there'll be money to go around. So I can't answer your question yet because I have to see how it unfolds. Mm-hmm. But that's the way things are going to happen in the next month or two.
Rick, let me take you up to Columbus, Ohio, and the latest going on with Urban Meyer. I know Bob Evans, I think, pulled their endorsement. How's this all going to play out? What's your gut feeling, by the way, just as a sports fan, as to whether he coaches at Ohio State? Is he suspended? Is he fired? What's gonna happen up there?
Well, I think there is some territory now that's going to be leading candidly to a did he or did he not report it. And frankly, if you say he did report it, somebody else's head is going to roll and there will be a paper trail or not. It's almost that simple. You can't make a statement like that and then say, oh, by the way, I forgot to write it down and there's no trail. So at the end of the game, I think if there is something that shows that he did his duty but wanted not the media to understand it, there's no rule that says you got to tell the media all of this. If he did what he was supposed to do, then I think he may be suspended for a half, maybe. Yeah. If he didn't, then I'm not sure how you keep him, regardless of how much money the program is making today or with the next coach.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think you said, too, that what won't be affected is the school's lucrative deals with Fanatics and Nike worth $97 million and $252 million, respectively. So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, well, hey, that's always a good thing because the money keeps rolling in. And remember, both of those deals are not just football, but, and remember, Jim Tressel, it wasn't a while ago where we had some of the same stuff happening, but Ohio State will always be in the top five of revenue absent a major controversy, and the athletic department wants to direct it, wants to make sure it stays that way.
Rick, I want to switch gears. I want to ask you your opinion about baseball. I know that the A's are trying to get a new stadium. I think they're not going to have season tickets next year. They're going to do something, and yet the team is winning. And also along those same lines, explain to me what the Pirates are doing. I was shocked that they were buyers at the trade deadline and got Chris Archer, among others. Those two small ball clubs, what do you see when you see those two teams?
You see the advantage of the one-and-done wild card, even if it means only one game. It keeps small-market cities in the hunt in August and September, and it makes the Pirates buyers, because if you're three or four games out even at the wild card, that's striking distance. And that's important, because you really can't have a couple of years of a couple of months of no momentum, let's wait till next year. That doesn't help anybody. At the end of the day, if these guys are moving forward as they are, well, then let's see what happens, including the A's. They're having these season tickets where you have the opportunity to buy a number of tickets, general admission, then you ramp up into higher tickets. That's the way to increase numbers. What they need is a new stadium. Everything else is a Band-Aid.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think they've been trying for many, many years, and I still see them. I think there's much greater than a 50-50 chance they'll be the Portland A's sooner rather than later. And it's too bad, but that city will support them. I really believe that.
Yeah. Well, since the Reggie Jackson days, since Gene Tennis, since Joe Rudy, you guys weren't probably even alive.
Oh, no, I was. I know. I know Joe played for the Red Sox too at the end.
Right?
Yeah.
Charlie Finley, remember?
Yeah,
remember
of course.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Raleigh Fingers deal, that was done. He was coming to the Red Sox, and then, you know, the commissioner got involved and scrapped it and cash and all. That was great news back then.
Yeah. All right, now, can I go screw around on a parking space? Can I go start arguing with these people? Are you done with me?
Yeah, we actually were done. This is perfect timing.
Wait. Can you go Facebook Live so we can watch this? Can you go Facebook Live so we can watch you come out of your car and argue with people? And...
Yeah, I was going to say, let me tell you something. If this doesn't end well, it'll be on tape, so I'll tell you.
All right, that'll be great.
All right.
Enjoy the game tonight, Rick. Talk to you next week.
Bye, Rick.
See you next week.
All right. That is Rick Haro, our business assistant.
It's going to be a golf cart taking him right from the parking lot. He's not walking to the... it's not a bad walk.
I think he'd have Blacklot written all over him.
I would think so too.
It's where the limos park.
I would think so too, especially if he's a guest of the Rosses. So I don't know.
Oh, you weren't being tongue in cheek?
No, I wasn't really
tongue in cheek.
Oh.
I bet you he is.
Yeah, no, well, he probably is.
Stinks. You're gonna have to go see the Lions lose in person.
Hey, but I might have got his tickets. How about that?
See, I didn't like that. I didn't throw myself at him.
I've known him for 20 years. I can do that. All right. Very good. Coming up, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Dolphins and the Buccaneers. Of course, the broadcast starts as soon as we get off the airwaves at 6 o'clock, but, another bottom feeder list. We're going to talk a little bit about the Dolphins.
Yeah, there's one
why?
Story out there today that has them ranked 32nd.
Bottom feeders.
And I'm going to tell you what this person said, why he has them ranked as low as he does.
All right. And Chris will refute that.
Yes.
That's what we'll do.
Vehemently fight this author.
It's coming up next, plus your input at 239-337-ESPN. I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepard.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Just a little friendly programming reminder. As soon as our show is over, it'll be the pregame for the Buccaneers, Gene Deckerhoff and company, and then kickoff at 7 o'clock against the Dolphins. Later on, and by later, I mean much later, 4 a.m. tomorrow, I'll be back on for First and Last on the ESPN radio network nationwide.
Nice.
And you are going to be out and about tonight.
I'll be out and about tonight at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Myers, right off Colonial and I-75, 9390 Dynasty Drive. I'll be hanging out from 7 to 9, maybe even a little longer, who knows. But watching all the games, it's going to be a blast. Come by, say hello, and...
He snuck that one in. I didn't see that one coming. Totally fooled me.
Continue.
Got some new Urban Meyer stuff.
I was going to segue into college football news.
Well, let me turn this down.
Float your boat.
Turn that way down.
In fact, keep that on hold because we're going to talk about the 32nd rank. Don't let that go anywhere, Chris. We can bring that back in a minute. So Urban Meyer, his paid administrative lead includes like zero contact seclusion. Players, coaches.
Urban Meyer cannot have any contact with his players or staff while the university conducts an investigation into his handling of domestic abuse allegations against the former assistant coach. School confirmed today, a little while ago, that Meyer is also banned from campus and cannot access the school's networks or his Ohio State University email account, among other things.
Where does his letter to Buckeye Nation, which I'm sure included the players and the coaches and the fans that he wrote a week ago today? It was Friday.
Friday.
Does that include in what he's banned as far as any contact? Apparently not, right? That was allowed.
He can release statements.
On Twitter is what he did.
Right. I mean, he can do that.
All right.
He just doesn't have access to like his @osu.edu email address.
I don't know what Urban Meyer's Twitter account is, but I'll bet it's @UrbanOSU or something like that.
But that's his Twitter account, not the football program.
He does not have access to any university-issued communication devices, which you know he's got an OSU cell phone. And maybe they technically, he has his own Twitter account, he does. But I'm wondering if that is even considered part of the university. He might have some kind of deal on, who knows. Mm.
All right. On to the Dolphins. You can re-cue the band, get them all worked up. Pete Shepard is going to tell you why they're ranked 32nd in the NFL.
I'm going to have to go to one of the sites. It was on, because I know it was a Sports Illustrated story.
Did you lose it?
Well, I can't find it. It's where it was there earlier. Hang on. I will. Give me 10 seconds.
Well, we've got a nice song to kind of fill time.
Such a terrible. So bad.
Sorry for those that are rooting for the Buccaneers for our lack of professionalism here.
Tampa Bay wins by 50. I hope they survive. Oh, where is it? By the way, Zach Smith has not been contacted by Ohio State in the school investigation right now either into what Urban Meyer knew of the domestic violence allegation against Smith. Yet.
All right.
Keep where there is yet. Hang on, I'm really trying to.
Perhaps could you paraphrase from what happened earlier today?
No, I can't paraphrase because it has them ranked 32nd, but the whole explanation is why.
And none of us three believe that they are the 32nd worst team in the league, right?
No.
Like, none of us expect them to go to the Super Bowl, but we don't expect them to be the worst team in the NFL.
Oh, so aggravating. Let's see. Where is that?
Okay, SI.com has an article by Andy Benoit.
Benoit Benoit?
Benoit!
No, I think that's Benoit.
Oh, okay.
10 thoughts on the 2018 Miami Dolphins. Could Miami sneak into the AFC playoff picture?
That doesn't sound like an article.
That doesn't sound like 32.
That's making the case that they could possibly be 9-7. That's what I'm thinking. All right.
Hang on. I will find now.
Hold on. Let me find it.
All right. While you're doing
I
that.
I know what I'm looking for. I'm going to find it.
Of course, tonight we
have that new site that you gave us. It was there, and I'm looking for it. Now I can't find it.
Now it's gone.
Oh, our new show prep service, huh?
Yeah.
A little peek behind the glass for everybody. We got a new show prep service.
All right, while you're
it's
doing
very
that.
Very good, by the way.
It is good. I enjoy it.
We also got Panthers and Bills tonight. Might see a little Josh Allen for the first time. Bears and Bengals. Mitchell Trubisky probably take like three snaps and sit down. Andy Dalton still trying to rejuvenate his career. Browns, Giants, we got the first two picks in the draft going head-to-head. Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley. Got the Steelers and the Eagles. Steelers trying to find a replacement for Ryan Shazier, I think. Eagles looking for a little help at corner. Saints, Jaguars, another game here tonight. Jags looking for a strong side linebacker to step up. In fact, their seventh-round pick, Leon Jacobs, may make the squad in that spot on a defense that is already pretty strong. Your Patriots, Tom Brady, got a $5 million raise in incentives today, taking on the Redskins this evening.
He doesn't play, does he?
No.
He's taken like two snaps in the preseason.
Does Poyer take all the snaps, or is there a number three in camp?
Yeah, there's the guy from LSU is there.
Okay. The Rams and the Ravens.
Danny Etling?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Rams and Ravens, by the way, Patrick Onwasser was the first one ever to be called the new lowering of the helmet penalty. He's a trivia question from now on. Titans and Packers going at it. Packers trying to find receivers to replace Jordy Nelson. We talked about Jake Kumerow, who is like way down on the depth chart, but he's climbing fast. Catch a lot of passes from Aaron Rodgers. He's a Division III kid.
Yeah.
I really like.
Love those D3 kids.
Yep, absolutely.
Easy to root for.
Yeah, they are. Texans and Chiefs. Are we going to see Deshaun Watson for the first time?
He's
going to take some. I hope. He might not, but I
hope. Yeah, he'll be out there. I'd like to see a lot of Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, and again, they dumped on Alex Smith coming on off of Alex Smith's best year ever, and Patrick Mahomes has been struggling here in the preseason of practice. Cowboys 49ers. Cowboys still looking for a number one receiver, number one tight end.
Got it.
49ers.
Thank you, 239.
We've got Colts and Seahawks where Andrew Luck will play one full quarter. All right, that is what I did as a professional. Did you get that? I just vamped for like 4 minutes with some professional information that is useful for all of our listeners.
He still couldn't find it.
Did I buy you time to find your little website?
It's on the comeback. Did you get it? It's on the comeback.
If he doesn't have it, Chris, you can do it.
Thecomeback.com.
All right, hang on. My computer's going haywire right now.
All
right.
Okay.
Chris, take over.
All right, so I'll take it over.
No, hang on. No, I'm going
to The Comeback is previewing all 32 NFL teams from worst to first between today and the start of the 2018 regular season. Today, The Comeback kicking things off with their 32nd-ranked team, the Miami Dolphins. Pete, take it away.
All right, now don't look, because I want your instant. You want your spontaneous
reaction.
All
right, I'll be the only one that's spontaneous then. Hit me.
All right, so.
I closed out.
All right, so. Okay. 2017 in a nutshell, it says, we all ask if they are pretenders
after
a fortune start. And quarterback Ryan Tannehill were all proven right when they lose 8 of their final 10, revealing themselves as one of the worst teams in the NFL. So, what's different? Tannehill is healthy again, yes. But they lost arguably their best offensive player, Jarvis Landry, although I think that's not going to be an issue. And arguably the best defensive player, Adamic Sue.
Overrated.
Totally
and
agree.
That's the problem with the national publication talking about the Dolphins. They think Sue must be the best player in the defense, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Good point.
Why they could be awesome, says Tannehill was playing
awesome.
The best football of his career before suffering his first knee injury late in the 2016 season.
Fact.
Why they could suck. That injury took place 21 months ago, and he hasn't played an NFL game since. He's also got less support now than he did then. I'm not sure about that.
I can't go awesome with the Dolphins. I can go mediocre with the Dolphins, but I can't see him being
awesome.
Well,
they're trying. I'm sure they're going to do this for everyone.
Yeah, they are. Major additions, obviously, Danny Amendola, running back Frank Gore, center Daniel Kilgore.
My new favorite player.
Josh Sitton, the guard. Yeah, because he won't leave his wife to when she's...
No.
He'll leave his wife when she's having a baby to go play, football. Defensive end Robert Quinn. And Mike
which
Gesicki,
I think is going to be a huge addition. Quinn?
Yeah.
I think Gesicki's a beast, and I think Micah Fitzpatrick, they're going to fit in well. So looking forward to that. Major losses, Landry Sue, Lawrence Timmons.
Lawrence Timmons was a major loss,
that's
they're saying?
Said, according to this.
That guy was a bum ever since he went AWOL week one against the Chargers.
He had one good game.
Sorry, week two.
He had one good game. Remember that? Breakout watch, defensive end Charles Harris disappointed as a rookie first-round pick in 2017, but the South Florida product really improved late in the year, should have a chance to build his presence as part of a deep but aging rotation on the edge.
Couple of questions. Dolphins preseason televised locally tonight, yes, but it'll be NBC.
It's the Buccaneers.
But it's going to be the Chris Buccaneers. Myers. Chris Myers calling the game, and 239, I'll...
No, NBC will have the Dolphins call.
Oh, they will?
Yeah.
Not in this market. It's only on one station.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I checked.
So it will be Chris Myers doing the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay.
Yep.
I'll laugh at Pete when the Dolphins beat your Pats twice this year.
Stop it. Listen, I'm as delusional as any one of us Dolphin fans, but that, you know, let's shoot for 1-1.
You can hope for the split.
Last year.
That won't happen. That's not going to happen.
Stick
this
with
year.
The split.
What, 1-1?
No.
Yeah, Will.
No.
2-0. I mean, might go 2-0.
Circle that game.
Beat you so badly.
Putting up 40.
Beat you like a drum.
Go cheap shot Rob Gronkowski when he's laying on the ground.
Tom Brady's not hitting any of his incentives.
No, don't get me started on his weak knees.
Position to watch. The edge is interesting because veterans Cameron Wake and William Hayes, the newbie Quinn and rising Harris, and will have to do a lot of heavy lifting with Sue no longer dominating inside. They're extremely deep with Andre Branch also on board, but it'll be tough to get most out of all those guys.
I think the Dolphins defense is kind of sneaky underrated going into the season.
Really?
I like their back end. The two safeties, there's not a better two safety combination in football than what the Dolphins have. There's just not with TJ McDonald and Rashad Jones.
Okay.
Last year, second half of the season, Xavien Howard, he's shown himself. He's a legit number one corner in this league.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's enough depth in the cornerback room between Fitzpatrick, McCain, McTyree. They've got enough where they can piece together that nickel and that opposite corner spot. I think you get the addition of Roquan McMillan back.
You'll see a
second-round pick from last year that got injured in the preseason. Him, in addition to the new linebacker from Ohio State that they drafted out of in the second round this year, I think their linebacking core is going to be better. I'm not going to say it's going to be great. I think their linebacking core is going to be better, and they do have depth in the defensive line. Yeah. They can run guys in and out.
The prediction is, he says, in many other years, the Dolphins wouldn't be at the bottom. But there aren't many truly terrible teams in the NFL right now. The Dolphins were terrible last year, and on paper, they are a lot worse this year. Even if Tannehill gets it together, this team will struggle to win 5 games. He has them at 4-12, fourth place in the AFC.
Wrong.
I disagree.
He's wrong.
I don't think they're worse than last year.
This team has 7-9 written all over it.
Yeah, I think they're going to surprise some people. I think they got rid of some baggage that just didn't fit in. Talented people, yes. But it didn't fit in with the system. I think it's going to be a healthier locker room, and I do think they're going to surprise some people as long as Tannehill stays healthy.
You know, I like was Pouncey a good player? Yes, Pouncey was a good player. Pouncey was getting paid an awful lot of money. I believe that they took Pouncey's salary and turned it into Andrew Kilgore and Sutton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That, once again, now it's all about numbers. Like, you can't be paying one guy all the money and expect to get production from other positions.
Right.
So you take that, you move it around, you go and you pay Juwan James this offseason. He's there at right tackle. Tunsil needs to take over at left tackle. Everything goes well for that offensive line. I think that they're good.
All right. There's one prediction I have in the NFL this year is that Hugh Jackson will be fired before the trade deadline. That's going to happen.
So
unless
you're saying
dramatically 0-6
start or something like that?
Greg Williams is going to be the new head coach. I think.
He's not the guy. But
I'm saying for the rest of this year.
Yeah,
after this.
I know.
No, he may not be the guy for the future, but he's got more leadership qualities, I think.
Williams or you think they go Todd Haley?
Or Todd Haley.
Because I.
Todd Haley.
Yeah, I think they go Todd Haley.
Todd Haley first.
That's a tough choice.
They got to be button heads. I mean, he's coming from the Steelers, going to this. I mean, this kid. I don't think it's going to end well for Hugh Jackson.
I don't either.
I just don't think it is.
Well, I see how far they go before they pull the trigger.
I don't think you can wait long.
Is that Justin Thomas?
Yeah, Justin Rose.
Justin Rose. I mean,
no, Justin Thomas is on my team. He doesn't do anything.
Justin Rose put it
right.
He was
1 under today, wasn't he? 2 under.
Big deal.
That is a big deal.
You got a shot to win if you're 2 under. That's within 3 strokes of the lead on a Thursday.
Justin Thomas tied for 29th. He's 1 under. He's 4 off the lead. It's Thursday.
Yeah, tap the brakes,
everybody. It's Thursday.
By the way, Dustin Johnson lost a stroke. He's back to 4 under.
He can take over this tournament coming down the stretch. Hey, he's got such length. When the course is wet like that, his length really shows off.
Yeah.
He's flying everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, and when his wedges are, when he's sticking his wedges like what he's doing today, he's tough to beat.
All right, what's he got? 25, 30 foot putt here.
Yeah, they're about.
For birdie.
For birdie.
Thomas, I'll give you an assessment, my team, my FanDuel fantasy team. Thomas underachieves at -1 today, tied for 29th. Fino is dead to me, like Koepka is 4 over. Stenson, he's
missed the putt.
He's tied for 107th. He's 3 over. DeChambeau, who won the stupid long drive contest, whoop-de-doo, stinks. He's 1 over. He's tied for 68th. Keegan Bradley's doing okay, but he's my -1. And Haas is, you know.
Is he still 3 over?
No, he's 4 over now.
Oh.
And he's -1.5 in points. You know how hard it is to get -1.5 in fantasy golf?
It's pretty hard.
You got to try hard.
Yeah.
Sure it is.
All right, Chris. What's on the menu tonight? You got your team. Your wife is aware that football season is starting. The kid will be it won't be interfering. Yeah,
it won't be my kid.
Right, right. So what's the game plan tonight? Couch and beers and nachos. What are we doing?
No, nachos.
Got a real dinner coming up.
No. Yeah. Having my wife bring some pizza home.
Oh, man, she's really going all out. Bringing home the pizza and taking care of the kids.
I treat game one of the preseason the same way I treat week four of the regular season. This is preparation. You got to get ready. You got to build up stamina. It's tough to sit on the couch for 3 hours drinking and eating and stay awake.
You'll be in bed by halftime.
No, there's no way. I might fall asleep, but I will not be in bed.
I might be.
Well. You have another show to prepare for.
I got another show to do. Every 12 hours, I'm on the air.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Can you break down the new television lineup? See how that goes?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Go to Trials and Tribulations about how High Noon could not succeed for how many months was it on? One? Two? Not even a month. It's not even on 2 months.
Two? Well, it's not that it didn't succeed. It just didn't get the viewership that they were looking for, and now they're...
I don't think that's in my best interest to...
I'd stay away from that. I'd stay away from that. I'd maybe talk Lions football.
Well, they play tomorrow night.
They play tomorrow. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
No, Young Sheeman, you will have probably, unfortunately, some sort of injury to discuss. Again, I hope it doesn't happen. Somebody around the country, somebody is going to get hurt. It always happens.
Absolutely. All right, coming up, what you got? We close it out. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd. Here's what I got. Close it out here. August 9th. Next to the hole.
Sorry.
That's all right. On this day in history, August 9th, 1988, the sports world was rocked. The Oilers, and I don't mean the Houston Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers traded hockey legend Wayne Gretzky to the Los Angeles Kings, and during his news conference, Gretzky could not hold back his tears and emotion for having had to leave Edmonton. Big day. Big day.
Unbelievable day. Done because owners had the team bankrupt. The mom of fired Ohio State wide receivers coach. We're going to get more into this tomorrow. This is just happening right now.
Yeah, it's our boy who broke this story, actually. Dan Hope.
What's going on? Yep. Mother of fired Ohio State wide receivers coach Jack Smith spoke out this afternoon with her own detailed comments about the ongoing situation in Columbus. Lynn Bruce, Smith's mother, and the daughter of iconic Ohio State coach Earl Bruce broke her silence in an interview with given to longtime Ohio State sports writer Jeff Snook. And it goes into great detail, which we'll get into tomorrow, and it basically calls Courtney a liar, and she was at a party and did this and did that, and Shelley was a psych nurse, and really things have changed. Don't really pay attention to the text messages, and she said she's borderline crazy, especially when she drinks. That was her quote, borderline crazy.
That's a bad look.
And it's you expect somebody's mom, they're going to defend their son. But this goes way over the top as well. But we'll get into more of this tomorrow because this is like an hour we could spend on this
breaking
alone.
News. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, what you got?
Dolphins play tonight. And
yes.
The Atlanta Hawks, they, you know, bought out Carmelo Anthony.
Yes.
$25.7 million, I believe.
Yes.
They also sent him a personalized, because, you know, he was a Hawk.
Right.
They sent him a Hawks jersey.
Did they?
Yeah, look at that. They tweeted it at him.
Oh, so he can frame it?
Said it's on his way.
Wow.
Yeah, hey, Carmelo Anthony, at Carmelo Anthony, your jersey is on its way.
Played,
good luck.
Played 0 games, 0 minutes, zero. Wanted to share with you the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You mentioned the Dolphins play tonight from the 239.
Yeah, text of the day.
I'm halfway across Alligator Alley with my wife, who is 8.5 months pregnant, headed to the game. We are ready for football. Assuming he's
and
a Dolphins
fan. She is ready to go into labor.
What if he's a Bucs fan? Is it I he didn't discern whether he was. He didn't say whether he was a Bucs fan or whether he was a Dolphins fan.
I'd make my wife drive.
You made your wife drive to the...
No, I wouldn't make my 8.5 month pregnant wife drive me to the game. Because at least drive me back so I can have
some
brews.
So you can have some drinks?
Right. Standard DD.
You might have to lay off the sauce on that particular situation. I mean, if her water
Listen,
breaks,
that's commitment right there from the 239. You're driving across the alley, probably in some gnarly rainstorms, going to a preseason football. I mean, you're setting yourself up to watch third stringers all night.
That's dedication
that's
for
awesome.
The wife
that's
for going
awesome.
Under that circumstance. That's a good wife. It's a very good wife.
If you're having a boy, you should name it like Ryan or Tannehill.
Chris.
Dan Marino.
Oh, my God.
All right, we've got
Bucks
the
coming up.
Bucks pregame. Broadcast. Bucks pregame coming up at the top of the hour for Chris and Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. I'll be on the ESPN Network at 4 a.m. God bless America, everybody!